Today on Real Radio.
Joy is that thing that causes you to keep grabbing onto the promises of God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of God is based upon the nature of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're in a series within a series called The Parable of the Lost Sheep. It's found in the first seven verses of Luke chapter 15. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing with more in his series on the parable of the lost sheep.
Why would he lay the little rascal sheep on his shoulders? Notice right here, verse 5, he puts the wayward lamb on his shoulders and he's rejoicing. Imagine the picture. He's got a lamb. Yeah, have you ever seen those cute pictures at the Bible bookstore? This guy, Jesus, he's just so cool looking, the painting. And he's got this lamb draped over his shoulders and the little lamb, if you look close, the little lamb almost looks like it has a smile on its face. Have you seen it? It's all about this parable right here. It doesn't really go that way. What's not here is what you probably remember when we went through John's gospel, going through that study. The shepherds of Israel, when a lamb went astray one time, then it is the portrait of the little lamb smiling and all as well, because the poor little lamb, he made a mistake and he wandered off and he just got confused. And there's grace for that. But this picture implies that it's a lamb that keeps wandering away. What's the old hymn? Prone to wander, prone to roam. Right? Listen, I'll confess this for you. We are all in our hearts prone to wander, prone to roam away from him. That's why we're commanded in the Bible to discipline ourselves, to keep ourselves in the love of God. God's always loving us, but we need to be under that umbrella, that spout where the glory comes out, you know, where God's love is upon us. He says, walk with me. So we're supposed to walk with him. What happens as a believer if I don't walk with him? Well, you're going to have what happens here. The lamb wanders away, keeps wandering away, wanders away. So the shepherd finds the lamb and just says, oh, I just love you, you little woolly little thing, you. You're just the best. Okay? But here's the deal. And he takes two stones, separates them a little bit, and he stretches out the back leg of the lamb over the stones. Then he takes his staff, the rod, I should say, and right between the two stones, he takes his rod and just goes, boom, and breaks that leg. Lamb crying, freaking out. And then he picks up the lamb with the broken leg and puts it on his shoulder and takes it back home. And the amazing thing about that is when the lamb gets back home and the lamb now cannot function without being on the shepherd's shoulders for a good period of time. And the shepherd intentionally does not set the leg. He lets it heal on its own, crippled. The lamb will never be able to run right and certainly won't be able to run fast or far. Are you with me? It will have a limp all the days of its life. But during the healing process, the lamb can only be transported on the shoulders of the shepherd. Now you think of that picture now. The shepherd and that lamb. The lamb is right near the shepherd's jaw or ear. Can hear every word the shepherd is saying. He can smell the shepherd. He can even lick the shepherd's sweat. He gets that into him. He's so close to the shepherd, closer than the 99. And though he may limp for the rest of his life, he learned a big lesson, not to wander, not to roam. Does that remind you of Jacob? When he wrestled with the Lord and the Lord touched his hip and knocked it out of socket, and Jacob for the rest of his life limped. And the Bible says to this day, that's why Israel does not eat, the Jews do not eat the hip or the bone of an animal because of that, because of Jacob. But he stayed closer to God after that, did he not? Have you had that happen in life? God loves you so much, you'll break your leg. So that's why I find that cruel. That's because you don't, you know what? You find it cruel because you don't know real love. If you love someone or as God loves you, he'll put up with stuff. It's amazing. And there comes a point where you become an endangerment to yourself and he will lovingly break your leg. Why'd this happen to me? We hear that a lot as pastors. I don't know. Why did this happen to me? You know, you're really tempted to say, because. Because he loves you. He did this, or he allowed this to happen to you. It's what happens. The amazing part is, I ask myself this question, why would he rejoice? He leaves 99 sheep to go after the one. Come on, you can get one anywhere. I'm not going to risk the 99 to go after the one. God doesn't think like that. This tells us the incredible value of your soul. That's crazy, man. Your soul. We lose sight of this stuff. That's why, listen, people who lose sight of the soul and the value of it, these are the guys, by the way, who say, oh, there's no such thing as hell. That is all metaphorically speaking. It's a metaphor. It's typology. Jesus didn't say that. He said it was hot. He said it was hotter than Helsinki. Hot. Jesus came that we wouldn't go there. If hell's not real, then what was Jesus doing on the cross? He says it's real. And when you start talking like, well, you know, I don't know, and it's a whatever, you've lost the value of a human soul. Look, I know it's hard to look at somebody who's perpetrated something against you or has hurt you, and your emotions say, oh, let them go to H-E double hockey sticks. That's what your emotions feel like. And then when you calm down, you realize, I'm a Christian, and God loves them, right? And we need to remember that. Jesus says, the shepherd takes up this wayward lamb, puts him on his shoulder, and he goes back. The shepherd goes home rejoicing. And I bet you when the shepherd's rejoicing and the lamb is crying because he's got a really hurting leg, the lamb is probably thinking, don't you care? Right? Where are you in my troubles? If you really loved me, you would what? Because he really loves, and you've been rescued, and maybe tonight you'll be rescued, Jesus rejoices. Isn't it amazing that, as he says here, angels rejoice? Here, he says his friends rejoice, but the Bible tells us in another place that when one person repents and comes to Christ, angels rejoice. Why? Because the shepherd's rejoicing. They have to. They see their creator rejoicing, and they like, hey, look at him. God's rejoicing over one of these weird, freaky little human things. They didn't have wings. The second thing under this point is that we are God's desire. His desire for us is joy through him. God wants us to be joyful. This is good news. Nowhere in the Bible does God say, you know, I've done this that you might have happiness. Happiness is cool, but it doesn't last very long. Happy or happiness comes from the word happenstance. We don't use that word anymore. It means this. Based upon your situation, you'll be happy or not. That's why people say, are you happy? You look happy. Are you happy? Oh, I'm happy. Well, we're happy for you. But you may not be happy tomorrow. Well, it depends on your situation. People never want to hear this. You know, in weddings, we have this thing, but God brought her into my life to make me happy. Oh, God brought him into my life to make me so happy. No, he didn't. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. And they lived happily ever after. No. If your relationship is built on happiness, which is happenstance, this is what you would be saying. As long, and look, people actually make decisions in marriage like this to get married. As long as you can make me happy, then we're together. But, you know, if there's a time when you don't make me happy, then all bets are off. That's not what God's talking about. God wants you to have joy. He wants you to have joy because it never changes. Joy is that thing that no matter what happens in life, listen, based on the Word of God, Christianity, a nuclear bomb could go off here in the next 10 minutes and it can't take your joy away. You would be kind of a weirdo if you were happy about it. But your joy cannot be robbed. Joy is that thing that causes you to keep grabbing onto the promises of God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of God is based upon the nature of God. My happiness is based upon how's it going? Joy is based upon the consistency of God. Listen, don't sell yourself short. Don't settle for happiness. Get joy. Well, where do I get it? Jesus says, I'm the source of joy. He's the source. He says, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me. What an awesome thing. Being around Jesus, hanging out with Jesus, all of us, listen, when we draw close to Jesus, it is the best, is it not? And you know, this is an amazing thing. We get so busy in life, things are so crazy in life, and we can get robbed by issues and situations so quickly, but we can all attest to this fact that when we spend time or make time to get alone with Jesus, let's be honest, never once did you ever walk away from being alone with Jesus and saying, boy, was that a waste of time. You've never done that. In fact, the funny thing in my life is I know my source of joy. I know where to get it. People want to talk about the fountain of youth. The fountain of youth. Google it. Google Earth. Where, find it. Where is it? Listen, I found it. I found it. It's wherever I determine I'm going to meet up with Jesus. That's where it is. That's where it is. When I say, you know what, I'm checking out from this world and I'm going to go sit alone with God. I'm going to meditate on God. I'm going to listen. I don't mean this to sound bizarre to people. There's a time when I even close my Bible and I set it and I'm just alone and I say, Lord, I just want to be with you right now. If you have anything to say, if you want, I'm just here. I'm just with you. Try that, will you? Will you just try that? Watch what happens. You're strengthened. Your joy is replenished. Your life changes. America is the most medicated people on the planet. Did you know that? The average American consumes more drugs than any other person on the planet. Would you say America right now is happy or not happy? Americans are grieved. Americans are depressed. It should never be said of the Christian. When I say depressed, don't confuse with people who go through emotional depression thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the kind of depression that comes because we refuse to get our joy. There's a big difference. Some of you are battling depression based upon either hormonal situations, emotional situations, internal chemical situations. I'm not talking about that. Talking about when we look around at the world scene as Christians and the world scene gets the best of us when it ought not to. You want to combat that? Go get alone with God. It's a lot cheaper than your prescriptions and it lasts. And you won't take this pill to have your elbow feel better, but your legs fall off and you go blind and you can't speak and you bleed to death and you have a heart attack and you have thoughts of suicide, but doggone, my elbow feels good. Have you noticed those commercials? Taking this medication will cause you to have suicidal thoughts. You may bite your dog. You might jump off the roof. You may catch yourself on fire. All this so you can go to the bathroom or not go to the bathroom. It's like amazing. Wow. What a drug. There's no side effects with Jesus. None. It's amazing. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, and you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. If that verse ministers to you, write it down, copy it, go pray that verse, talk to God about that, watch what he does in your life. Jeremiah 31:3, the latter end of verse 3. Jeremiah 31:3, you've heard it before. I love saying it. God says to us, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. You can be joyful about that. John 15:9, Jesus said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Build your dwelling in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That's where you're going to be the happiest. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. The word is overflowing, gushing joy. Only God gives that. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't. He gives it. Jesus is my joy, my peace I give. The third thing under this consideration is this. We are God's desire, and that his desire for us is security in him. Security. Security in him. He says, look at that, verse 6. He says, for I have found my sheep which was lost. What does that mean to you? Jesus is saying, my lost sheep. Now remember, this whole parable ends with those that are lost being found. And it also speaks to the believer having wandered away. Jesus is announcing right here, it's his desire to capture you, to win you over, and not only to do that, to secure you. My sheep was lost, it's been found, it's mine, it's mine. That's an important thing. Don't you want God to say, you're mine? Who would not want that? Honestly, who would not want that? Well, I'm my own man. No, you're not. Where'd you get that from? Well, I am woman. Hear me roar. Look, the greatest thing in the world is for you and I to come to the reality of letting God own us. He made you. He's your creator. But just because he's your creator doesn't mean he owns you. I mean, you've been bought with a price, Corinthians tells us, Paul does there. But you can be usurping your own authority, saying, I am running my own life, God. Thank you very much, but no thanks. There's no greater thing than to be owned by the security of God. In John chapter 10, I love John chapter 10. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses here. You ready?
Yes.
Watch this. John 10, verse 1. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, who's the door? Jesus is the door. But climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger. Have you noticed that? The real Christian, when they hear false teaching or false doctrine, they just go, no, there's something wrong with that, and I'm leaving. Have you noticed that? It's awesome. Why? Holy Spirit has given you the ear to hear the shepherd's voice, and you will not follow someone else. That's why, listen, that's why I've often said, we are all sheep of his pasture, right? Well, but you are a pastor. You're the pastor, which is the word for an interim shepherd. I understand that, but I've already had a deal made out with God that I'm at best a sheepdog. He's the chief shepherd. I remind him of that constantly. We're sheep. He's the shepherd. If anything, I'm a sheepdog. Okay? Listen to what Jesus says. He says, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Look at verse 7. Then Jesus says to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Listen, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not, this is a reference to Satan, by the way. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, that is a shepherd who punches the clock 8 to 5. If the sheep are in trouble before 8, he doesn't help them. If they're in trouble after 5, he doesn't help them. He's in it for the money. He's in it for the position. He's in it for the title. I don't know what, but he's not in it for the right thing. Jesus says, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. What a knucklehead. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, watch, and am known by my sheep. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. That's Israel. The fold, the original fold is Israel. Then also, I must bring. That's us, the Gentile believer. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, that is his life, but I lay it down of myself, and I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Isn't that awesome? Amen. And I'm going to do it for the sheep. He says, nobody takes my life from me. That's excellent. Third point, we can finish this. We can do it. Third and final point, verse 7, look at it. We are God's aim. We are God's aim. We are his aim. Verse 7 says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. What do we mean by that? His aim is to have you return to him. Return to him. How? Listen, don't answer out loud. How's your walk with God? Is God smiling upon your walk? Is God glad with your walk? Is Jesus saying, you are one of the 99? Notice what he's saying. He's not saying that the 99 are perfect. He's saying the 99 have nothing to need. They have no need to repent of waywardness. He doesn't mean they're flawless. They're sheep. He's saying the 99, they haven't wandered away. There's no necessity for them to repent of a waywardness. They haven't gone anywhere. But so what about you if you have? If God is speaking to you tonight and there's stuff in your life and you're saying, even right now in your mind, you're saying, I didn't want to think about it. I'm denying it. I'm not even gonna go there. Jack, I know. You're trying to lay that on me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Lost Sheep. The Parable of the Lost Sheep is actually a multi-part series within a series from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember to visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Of course, you'll be able to watch recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's one of our weekly television programs. But you can also subscribe to Real Life Devotions. They'll be sent right to your email each Monday, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We keep getting more and more subscribers to Real Life Devotions, and a lot of folks are writing in and letting us know what they think. Here's what one subscriber to Real Life Devotions wrote. I so enjoy opening my email, and the first thing my eye catches is the Monday morning Real Life Devotion. Thank you, Pastor Jack. Well, thank you back. Again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click the button that simply says Devotions. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, should you need it, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.